We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Glad to have you in on a Monday. Jacob Albrock in the house from Eyewitness Sports after a crazy weekend in the National. Well, actually, not crazy. Went kind of as expected.
Ones and twos.
Yeah, ones and twos all over the place.
Did they all cover? They all covered too, didn't they?
Saints didn't cover.
Okay.
Saints didn't cover. No, absolutely not. So, anyway, so plenty of NFL as we've chatted about that throughout the first hour. Let's change directions and hit a little college hoops. We'll get to KU and K State coming up in a bit. Shockers continue to have moments of lucidity, don't they? I mean, they had a first half where they looked all the part of a team that you hope that they can become for closer to 40 minutes. Kind of it dissipated in the second half, but they hung in there and they competed. And Shane, I think that we talked about this on Friday, what our hopes were for Wichita State. I don't think either one of us thought they could beat Houston. Turns out they probably could have. Mm-hmm. They ended up not doing it. But I think, guys, that they gained a little bit in their competitiveness. They executed a little bit better in some key times. This was a question of closing out three-point shooters and identifying and getting there and not letting guys get shots off. But even in a 9-point loss, was there at least a little progress? And is this how we're judging Wichita State at this point?
They have to.
I guess.
They're now 0-3 in the American. But when you look inside the numbers a little bit, in a tough place right this second to win as anywhere in the country, Houston's got a 20-some game home winning streak. And Wichita State was tied with them with about 11 yep. minutes left to go. They traded runs. Shockers gave up a 14-0 run gave up a 14-0 run to make it 48-40. And then McDuffie had a four-point play that actually gave the Shockers a lead with just under 11 minutes left. And then Houston went on a 7-0 run. This is obviously taking some getting used to because Wichita State just pounded people on the road over the last 10 years or so. But they're now 0-4 this year, where they'd been 49-8 in true road games over the previous 5 years, I guess it was. So it continues to be, Jacob, that Marcus McDuffie and Samaje Haynes-Jones are going to do most of the heavy lifting, not only scoring, but the minutes played. And the spare parts around them continue to just take turns. Yeah. One guy will step up a little bit and then maybe disappear the next game. It's hard to depend on anybody except for the two seniors.
Right now, Dexter Dennis looks like the guy that's stepping up the most, mm-hmm. I think, of the young players. I just, with the Shockers, and I've said this all year, I've put 500 as the benchmark. And yes, they're 0-3 in the American, but it was a road game at Memphis, a road game at Houston, and Temple looks real good. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be in a frustrating state of mind if we do anything other than isolate what's happening in the moment. And I think if we gave a serious look and said, is the team better now than they were in October? The answer would be yes, I think. Mm-hmm. It is yes. And I think if you look to the future, you see something that, okay, in a couple of years, this team, when all these guys are upperclassmen, is going to be really good. The only problem with that is who's going to score when it's not McDuffie. That's what you got to answer. And I think that's still, to me right now, the question. And the only thing I look at that is, and I guess it's troubling, is where's the offense coming from outside of McDuffie or Samaje Haynes-Jones? Like, where's the offensive future of the team? And that's the only real concern I have, because my expectations have been realistic all year anyway. I mean, look, they lost almost everybody. Well, I don't know what people thought would happen this year other than what's happening. An inconsistent young basketball team that is talented but not experienced. Because I think that is all we see every week. And I think if you look at the coaching staff and all the new faces, I think they've scouted teams really well, which would tell you why they have a lot of first-half leads. But then I think they're also a young and inexperienced team that can't adjust in-game as well as some older teams that have done that well against them. So take it game. I mean, honestly, take it game by game. Like, what were your expectations anyway with the Shockers? Take it game by game. If you see improvement, it's a win that week. If you don't, it's a loss that week. And we've seen both of those scenarios this year. And they have opened up on a pretty tough, you know, they haven't been they haven't been losing to East Carolina. Yeah. You know, it's or Tulane. Like, they're going to get wins. It's where do they stack up in that second tier of the conference, I think. And they're probably, I mean, legitimately right smack in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly right. And what you hope is, Shane, that at some point they muck it up for a front runner because they've got the capacity to beat a team like that, especially at home.
Well, they showed it.
You would think.
They showed it at Houston for three quarters of the game, and that prompted Greg Marshall to say maybe we're the three-quarter Shockers. You know, if the game was 20 minutes long or 30 minutes long, Wichita State would be a pretty good team.
Yes, they would.
And that's, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's.
But isn't that encouraging?
It is.
More than not,
because I think that tells you the talent level, and then losing those leads tells you the experience level. Mm-hmm. They're talented enough to have a lead against Houston deep into a game, but they're not experienced enough to close that game out. I mean, these guys have never played a road conference game in Division I college basketball, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, what were your expectations for the Shockers this year? If it was... You know, if it was more than where they were predicted preseason by a large margin, that was probably shooting a little bit too high. Greg Marshall warned us and warned us and warned us all offseason about these kinds of things. Look, they're young and inexperienced. It's going to be up and down. And I know it's frustrating for him. It's frustrating for everybody. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I think you're better served to be realistic.
To answer your question from earlier, if Jaime Echenique didn't hurt his foot, I think there was your answer there. Because he was just kind of hitting his stride, and there were beginnings of games against Southern Miss and before and after that, I forget which, where at the beginning of the game, they just fed him until the other team made an adjustment. And frankly, in that Southern Miss game, I thought he was as big a reason as, for them going zone as anything. One guy. Echenique really started to figure stuff out, and that really set him back when he hurt his foot.
And teams have now, in this again, adjustments on you. And while Echenique is not a freshman or young, he's inexperienced to this level, teams are just getting him in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. He's got to figure out a way now to adjust to teams that go out and game plan getting him in foul trouble because they know what kind of offense. I mean, just look at him. He screams great athlete, great player to you when you look at him physically. And yet, so what's the other team going to do? They're going to go after him and try and get him in foul trouble. Right now, it's been a very sound strategy for the opposition is to get him in foul trouble. He's got to make that adjustment. He's inexperienced. That takes time. It is what it is. Dexter Dennis is just now starting to regain some of his early season aggression, and I think he's looked really good. And athletically, we always thought he might be the guy of the group, but he's starting to, you know, mentally now, it appears, get some of that and start taking on a little bit of that role. He's confident right now, and it shows.
The key now moving forward is moving forward, really, literally. Because I agree with you, Jacob. You look at this team in terms of where is the growth coming. So the only thing that you don't want to see right now as a Shocker fan, and this is beyond wins and losses, and obviously I think you're right, the schedule will lighten on them, and they'll win some games, especially in the second half of the conference season, if they stay in a positive frame and aren't beaten down by some of these failures. That doesn't appear to be happening because I thought that they, after a couple of losses to open conference play, I thought they played with a lot of energy and focus early on in that game at Houston. And really for... What, Shane, as you said, the first two-thirds of that game, I think you could make the argument that they were the better team. Now, they didn't finish, and it's all about finishing. So can they keep their heads emotionally above water to realize what should be a payoff come, really, February? They should win some games in February.
And don't get a here-we-go-again mentality if things start to go south. after they will. 25 or 30 minutes.
Right, they will. They're going to. Like, it's going to happen. You got a team full of young players. This isn't Duke freshmen that are all NBA guys that are just sort of, you know, just twiddling their thumbs until. But these are guys where, you know, you hope one or two of them are like all timers. And I think that could totally happen. For a while, we probably thought it would be Eric Stevenson. He's really struggled lately.
Yeah, he has. Torres, it just isn't providing a lot right now.
Not offensively. No. That's my biggest question with the Shockers. Right now, they can get by a little bit because McDuffie and Samaje can take the shots. But who's good? Like, of the rest of the roster, who are your shot takers?
That's a good question.
Because it's a big question next year.
Yeah.
And Teddy Allen will be. Of course, Teddy Allen will be.
Yep.
And another reminder for folks, just picture the team if Teddy Allen was granted a waiver, that would be all the difference in the world. But even if Austin Reeves doesn't transfer and Teddy Allen's on the roster, I mean, you might have the best team in the American. It's close. It was a suck set of circumstances, but you just got to deal with it. And everything, you know, maybe not next year. Maybe next year it's a little bit better. But the year after that, they're going to be just fine.
Well, the numbers that, to me, give you pause in a good way in that trip to Houston was the free throw disparity was one.
That's
the
good.
Shockers made 19 free throws at Houston. Toughest place to play in
the
America.
That's new, yeah.
Minus one rebounding. That's pretty much a wash. They had more offensive rebounds, 12 to 10, and the turnovers were negligible, 15 to 12, and points off turnovers, Wichita State actually had more. So, yeah, to Bruce's point, they didn't close, but in losing to Houston on the road, you'd expect all those categories to favor Houston in a big
100%.
Way.
I mean, Houston won the game because their best players, who are all really good, stepped up and just started making shots.
Making shots, yeah. I mean, 56%.
Same with Temple. And that's the same thing that happened to you. Now, they turned it over against Temple, but that's why the turnaround happened is because Temple's best players all of a sudden started hitting shots, which you expect your experienced players to do. Sharks don't have a lot of experienced players.
No, they don't. They don't. And you don't know how those young guys are going to react. It's almost kind of a wait and see what you have. Because how much dependability do any of them have in those situations? Some guys have been good. And then those same guys that have been good haven't been good at all in other situations. In other words, so Greg Marshall, when he gets in those situations, he doesn't have a test pattern that he can go to and say, all right, I can count on fill in the blank in this kind of situation. It's basically figuring it out as he goes in the very game that he's coaching.
Right.
Which makes it pretty darn hard to do. Let me throw you guys a little curveball. I've been wondering about this, especially as, and we haven't gotten to KU yet, but apparently they're going to go for a line in the sand moment with Silvio D'Souza on getting him back. What are Shocker fans going to say if Teddy Allen is sidelined for the entire season? But KU has gone through all of this preseason stuff and get a player that is able to come back and declared eligible. And look, I know that there are different cases, and I appreciate that. I'm just saying the optics of it. How much grumbling would there be at that point?
Well, there should be. Teddy Allen, there's no reason Teddy Allen shouldn't be on the floor.
Right.
Look,
exactly.
I'm so sick of I think – you guys know where I stand on all of it.
It's a family show. Now be careful.
We see coaches bail on teams all the time. In a free marketplace, they should be able to, but so should players. Like, if a player wants to transfer, a player should be allowed to transfer. And we can talk about the snowflake mentality and not sticking it out and look at Jalen Hurts and all that nonsense, because it's nonsense. If a player thinks he can better serve himself somewhere else, let him go. If it gives him a better chance to go make it to the NBA, you don't let the guy go to the NBA, okay, if he wants to go play for – who cares? Let him go play where they want to play. It is nauseating, these stupid, archaic rules that we live by in the NCAA that we don't live by anywhere else.
Mm-mm.
And in regards to Teddy Allen and why he should be allowed to play – Teddy Allen used a change of scenery to better his life. Okay, mm-hmm. This is not right. necessarily, if you followed Teddy Allen's story, this is not a, I didn't necessarily want to play for Bob Huggins, I'd rather go somewhere else. It was, my life is not going in a good direction here. This is, I got to save myself from myself. That is an unbelievably mature decision for him to get out of West Virginia, get back home, put your ducks back in a row and figure out where do I go next and what's best for my own mental and physical health. I don't want to go back through Teddy Allen's entire timeline, but if you're familiar sure. with the story, you know that this was about Teddy Allen getting his life back together, not I'm not getting enough minutes at West Virginia. And that's why it's so much more head-scratching that the NCAA didn't allow the Teddy Allen transfer to be an immediate go-ahead-and-play kind of thing, because it's not about picking a better fit for him on the floor. It's picking a better fit for him moving forward through the rest of his life, because he saw it going in a bad direction and was starting to spiral mm-hmm. out of control.
Right.
It doesn't – and that's right. That's 100% right. And the NCAA missed an opportunity to take care of an athlete, which is what they ought to be doing mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. But even if it wasn't any of that and he just wanted to go play somewhere else, why don't you hold coaches to the same standard?
That's the fallback. Coaches don't have to wait. Not that why coaches should,
and they no. shouldn't have to.
Right.
They
right.
shouldn't have to. They have contracts that they work under. They have a buyout. Players don't get those luxuries. Like, what are we doing? Why? Whatever. This is a different tangent, but
sure.
And I don't know what to think about the Silvio De Sousa stuff, because that's just a unique animal. And I don't know whether he should or shouldn't be that. It's a different scenario, but it's certainly an interesting one. I can't imagine there's a scenario where the NCAA allows Kansas to just say, yeah, he cheated, but we think he ought to be able to come back and play. Like, what would be the benefit to the NCAA to say, okay, we agree.
Sure.
Like, no, I mean, if he screwed up, he screwed up.
And have they investigated?
Well, apparently Kansas has now. So
I'm not talking about Kansas. I'm talking about the NCAA. Have they come in and
well, they've at least started it, but yeah, I don't know if they're finished or not, because they were waiting on feds.
If they did, it'd be a record time.
Kansas was waiting on the feds.
And Jacob, how much culpability did KU and their own investigation of themselves find?
Well, they're about to say of themselves or of Silvio De Sousa?
Apparently
they're willing to say De Sousa cheated. Or mm-hmm. or whatever, his guardian cheated. But I don't know in their own investigation if they said, yeah, but we knew about it.
Because they've already determined they're the victim.
The
here.
Feds
Kansas
didn't
the
even say that. You'd be right. shooting yourself in the foot to do that. But and I don't know whether the NCAA, I mean, is the NCAA going to come and investigate and be like, you know what, the FBI had this wrong. They actually did know about it. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so.
There's not a scenario where I see that playing out. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. I think it's a different, totally different. I don't know whether I think he should.
Animal.
I mean, if it was a clear rules violation, whether or not the rule's stupid, which I think the rule is very stupid, it was still a violation. So I don't see a scenario where he's on the floor. I just don't see it.
We'll see.
Well, it's just interesting. Just very interesting. But apparently Kansas is trying to force the NCAA's hand on this. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And by the way, really nice wins for KU and for K-State.
Dang right.
Over the weekend. Ooh, Barry K-State. Brown, man, take the ball to the hole. Has now won basically back-to-back games by just taking the ball and saying, the hell with it, I'm going to the rack. And you got two pretty good outcomes. Kansas State saved their season, guys.
And Dean Wade
absolutely saved their season. Yes, he did.
He only had 2 points, but he had 9 rebounds.
He was on the floor. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I think that you hit that on the head. At least he was out there, and he had a hand in them winning.
It's a tournament team again now, don't you think? Feels like it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll get to both of them in more specifics as we continue in a moment. Jacob Albrecht in from Eyewitness Sports, Shane and Bruce with you right here Monday on Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.